I invite you to turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Now, if you will, this morning, take note, beginning with verse 9, and let us read this model prayer which our Lord gave to his disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Lord is teaching his people to pray. And this prayer is, of course, designed for the Lord's people. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven." Pray ye, "Our Father which art in heaven." This prayer is not for the ungodly and for the alien sinner, the sinner that's outside the Lord Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. I was reading yesterday where the fellow that was shot last spring here in Great Falls in the filling station, that he said that after he'd been shot three times as he was waiting, he'd dial 911, he was waiting for the police and the ambulance to come, that he prayed the Lord's Prayer, I believe it said, three times. Now, I do not know whether this man has a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or not. I do not know whether he be one of God's children, whether he be in the faith, whether he be a man that loves Christ. But this prayer was not designed for the ungodly and for the sinner, not for the lost. This prayer is a model prayer for believers, our Father. And we do not believe in the universal fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, as some do. I certainly don't believe that. I believe God is the creator of all men, but he is certainly not the spiritual father of all men. He is only the father, the heavenly father, the spiritual father of those who have experienced the new birth in and through the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And so he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Holy is your name. And this word hallowed means that we're to set aside a person or thing to be other than common. God is not common in that he's not as we are. God is holy. Absolutely, completely holy. And he said, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now I want to speak this morning on verse 10, primarily on this phrase, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The title for our message this morning is "A Heavenly Pattern for Our Earthly Lives." A heavenly pattern for our earthly lives. And I want us to immediately get right into the message. We have taken a little time here in the opening remarks as we were reading our text this morning, and I want us to just jump right into the message. And so don't think, well, I've got a little time before I shift gears here and get my mind engaged, because you don't have. We're going to immediately begin in the meat of our text. And the first thing that we want to talk about this morning is this, that the will of God is done in heaven. The will of God is done in heaven. It's done in heaven by the angels. If you were to turn back with me to the book of Psalms 103, and I wish you would turn with me there. There's some blessed verses here that I want to read to you. Psalm 103. We'll begin our reading with verse 19. "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And so we find here that the angels in heaven, that they do the will of God. Now in heaven they do his commandments, we're told, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They do his will in heaven. Now we would to God that his will were not only preached about, not only discussed. We often hear people discussing the will of God, but we would to God that men would not only preach about and discuss the will of God here below, but actually do the will of God as it is done in heaven. Now, in the Bible, we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, in verse 15, it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Now that's talking about those who came out of great tribulation, had their robes washed white. It says that they're before God and they serve him day and night. And that's in contrast to here on earth, that we just serve God spasmodically. We do not serve him as the host above serves him. Now in John 4 and verses 23 and 24, it talks about the true worshipers. And Jesus said the hour is coming and now is, when they that worship God in spirit and truth, they that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in heaven, the will of God is done in spirit for all of those that are in heaven. They are also spirit. Now it is done in truth, it is done with undivided heart, and it is done with unquestioned desire in heaven. The will of God is done in heaven. Now in heaven, they do God's will constantly, and they do it without failure. I would to God that it was so with us in this life. Now they do God's will in heaven universally, without picking and choosing what commandment they will obey. We are, I fear, all affected more or less with this goal, a certain part of obedience. As we read in the Word of God, something is very difficult to do, something is very hard for us, something is just plain downright hard work for us to do, and therefore we forget it. Now it ought not to be so, but it is. Partial obedience, my friend, this morning, is actual disobedience. And if a man picks and chooses through the commandments of the Word of God as to what he wants to do or what he will do, then that individual is disobedient unto God. Now, if anything be the will of God, if anything be revealed, spelled out plainly in the Scriptures as the will of God, then we have no choice in the matter, because the choice is made by the Master, and we have no choice in the matter. Let us pray, brother, sister, and pray hard in these days that we may neither misunderstand the Lord's will, nor forget it, nor violate the Lord's will in any way. Oh, that the will of God was done on earth as it is being done in heaven. We can say that his will is done in heaven instantly and without hesitation by all of those who have gathered over there. Now that's wonderful that we can say that, and that the Word of God makes that clear to us, that there is a place where the will of God is being perfectly done by the redeemed. Oh, to do what God bids us to do, as God bids us to do it, and do it on the spot and at the very moment that we discover that that's the mind of the living God, to be obedient immediately to what God reveals in his will. We must not consult with flesh and blood or make a reserve for our own selfishness, but at once vigorously follow the divine will. Next, I would like to say that the will of God is done in heaven joyfully. It's done in heaven without the slightest weariness. Now, here in this world, you know, we many times grow weary in well doing. But in heaven, the will of God is done joyfully and without the slightest weariness. When our hearts are right with God, it is a glad thing to serve God, though it be only to unloose the latchets of our master's shoes or to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. It is a glad thing to serve the Lord when our hearts are right. It is a joyful thing to serve the Lord, to do His will, to do His bidding, to resolve to do what God wants us to do and to do it. It is a glad thing to serve the Lord. Next, in heaven, the will of the Lord is done humbly. There is no boasting or bragging in glory. The flesh will have been dropped off before we get there. Therefore, there won't be any bragging or glory in heaven being taken upon ourselves. The will of God is done humbly in heaven. Their perfect purity is set in a frame of lowliness. All those there are humble and lowly. There's not a spirit in heaven. There's not one in eternal glory that will brag about them having participated in the work that got them there. Every one of them will understand that they got there purely by the grace of God through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here too often we fall into pride and self-congratulation, and it defiles our very best works here in this world. We often flatter ourselves. We whisper to ourselves and say, well, we're doing quite well. We just seem to be getting along real well. We just seem to be making a lot of progress in our life. We think and say that there's no self involved at whatsoever in our service, but our self-contentment proves that we're lying to ourselves. There's a whole lot of self wrapped up. There's a whole lot of pride in everything that we do here in this world, but it's not so in heaven. The will of God is done humbly in heaven. Now, we must be kept low at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ here in this world if we're going to accomplish much. Let me say that self might have allowed us to do 10 times more. God might have allowed us to do 10 times more than what we've done if it were not for self-exaltation. If we had not been full of pride, if we had not been so, quick to glorify and honor ourselves and to exalt ourselves in this world, we might have done a whole lot more. The Lord might have trusted us with a whole lot of more success than what we've had in this world. Now, I do not find it, as I have described to you, this obedience of those in heaven to the will of God, I've not found it hard to describe here the model as it is in heaven, as it is done in heaven. It's no difficulty to talk about it because we read so much in the Word of God about them being conformed to the mind of God, the will of God, and in submission to God, serving Him day and night without weariness in the Scripture. But where the problem comes in is to copy it. To copy the model. That's where the work is. That's where the difficulty is for us to pray as our Lord said here in this prayer, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For the model to be transferred to this world and to this earth. That's where the work is. Now unless, and listen to me this morning, unless we be endued with the strength of God, we shall never do the will of God as it is done in heaven. We'll not begin to do the will of God in this world as it is being done in heaven. To this, the unaided wisdom of Solomon could not attain. The Holy Ghost must transform us and lead the earthly in us captive to the heavenly, or there will be no conforming in this world to the will of God. Now, I'm telling you that God will have to do a great work in every one of us if there's going to be any part of our lives that's going to be in tune with the will of God. If there's going to be any part of our lives that's going to honor and glorify Him in obedience to His will and word, It'll be because of the transforming work of God in our souls. It'll be because God has touched us in an unusual way. And God, in many, many times, He does afflict, He tries, He chastens His people, and He brings them to the place where they can have a desire toward Him that is strong and firm and resolute, in which they want to do the will of God in their hearts at all costs. But I'm telling you, God's going to have to do something in us, or it's not going to be the case. Now, the second place, we talk first of all about the fact that the will of God is being done in heaven. Now, you all rejoice because the will of God's being done over there. And when we get there, the will of God will continue to be done. We'll do it, and we'll do it perfectly. Now, this expression, "Thy will be done in earth," we have discovered that it is a prayer that we're to pray to God. First of all, I want to say this because I believe it's important, and I think that we have to say this at this time in this message. I'd like to say that there is a definite sense in which the will of God is done, is being done at this very time on earth also. There is a definite sense in which that is the case. For the Lord doeth, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, the Lord doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God is doing His will. There is a sense in which He's doing His will in the earth right now. Let us consent that it is so. Let us say amen to the Word of God and to the truths that are taught there about God working His own sovereign will and purpose in the lives of men in this world. Listen, we ought not desire the alteration of the will of God in any sense, in any respect. Ephesians 1 and 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, this will of God is the secret will of God. God has a will that is secret to Him, a will that only He knows, a will that's only that He only has to do with. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't interfere with it. We're not to interfere in any way, shape, or form with the will of God that He's working here in this world. Now, this will may cost us dearly after the flesh. And we may feel, according to the flesh mind, that this will is exactly contrary to us. But this is the will of God that's being done. That will may bring us many bereavements by the time our lives are over in this world. Only God knows who will be taken next out of our lives. Only the Lord knows. My mother, she passed away 1 year ago on the 12th day of August. And it's amazing how quick that year went away. But nevertheless, bereavements do occur, and they occur by the will of God, by God's will. And so this will of God, this secret will of God, known only to Him, is the time of our departure of this life. Known only to Him is how many of our loved ones that we'll have to bury before we also leave this world. But no, sickness and loss in this world is also comes by the will of God. And you know, there are many things that are difficult for us to understand. And many times our wills are crossed here in this world by the things that happen, by those things that transpire, come to pass. And this is the secret will of God being worked out. This is God working all things according to His own good pleasure. Now, there's so much that we would like to say about this. We don't know as much about it maybe as we would like to know about it. But the book that reveals the secret will of God is chained to the throne of God. Only God knows that which He is secretly working out, but we know it's His good will and pleasure, and we must learn to say, "It is the Lord, let Him do what seemeth Him good." It's God that is working out his will. Let him do what seems good to him. Now, we should not only yield to the divine will, but we ought to acquiesce in the will of God so as to rejoice in the tribulation which it ordains in our life. Rejoice in it because the will of the Heavenly Father is being done. Now, this is a high attainment indeed for man to be able to bow joyfully and to submit oneself to the will of God as it's being worked out in his life, when maybe it's so contrary to our flesh mind. And then to say, for the preacher to get up and say that we ought to so acquiesce in it that we would rejoice in the tribulation, the trouble which it brings and ordains in our lives. Now, this, as we said, is a high attainment, but we must strive to reach it. We must pray against our own will. And there are places where in eternity it will be revealed, where the people of God struggled in prayer, where they prayed, where they earnestly cried to God that the Lord would go ahead and do his will, even in spite of our own flesh and our own flesh mind, even in spite of what we wanted, nevertheless the will of God be done, where we cried to God, the walls of buildings and fields and woodlands and other places will testify in eternity that this poor soul wanted the will of God to be done, even if it was contrary to every thought I had concerning the flesh. The will of God must be done. And that is the prayer of the Lord's people. And we must strive to submit ourselves to the secret will of God. Now, the scripture says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law. That's Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Now, what that means is that the secret things belong to God. That's his secret will. We don't know all about what God's doing. We can't explain the ins and outs of what the Lord is doing, but God is at work doing his will in the world. But those things which are revealed in the Word, those things which God has been pleased to spell out in his Holy Scripture, the Word of God itself is revealed. That's the revelation of God's mind. That tells us what we're to do in order that we might keep all the words of this law. Now, in the scriptures, many, many times in the Old Testament, and this is one of the cases, when the word law is used, it has reference to the whole word of God, the whole revelation of God. The revelation of the whole mind of God is what it means. Just like in the New Testament, when it talks about the gospel, that has to do with everything from God predestinating our salvation and slaying the Lord Jesus Christ in his mind in old eternity, and the outworking of his the work of redemption at Calvary's cross. It has reference to all of that, the gospel. It has reference to the whole work of redemption. And so the law here is the whole word of God. So the secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed in the Bible belong to us and to our children forever. Forever. As long as time lasts. Now, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now Deuteronomy 4 and 39 says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. God is in the heavens and God is working his will both in heaven and on earth. In Isaiah 44 and 24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. God has done this. He has spread out the heavens. He did it alone. Nobody helped him. Nobody assisted him. And God has spread abroad the earth by himself. He has a purpose in it, and he's working it out. In Isaiah chapter 46, and if you would turn there with me, listen to the reading of these verses. Remember in verse 9, remember the former things of old, Isaiah 46 and 9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I will do it, God says. And so God is at work. Now, beloved, to pray this prayer, the expression, thy will be done on earth, first of all, it is an expression when you pray it and when I pray it, and when we pray it sincerely, I mean when we pray it with all of our hearts, when we mean it, I mean when we're just not using words, I mean with judgment day honesty, we're praying thy will be done on earth. It is an expression of harmony and sympathy with the sovereign will of God. That's what it is. How can a man pray thy will be done on earth unless he is in full sympathy with the will of God? It is that we are in agreement with his sovereign will. We may not understand it. We may not be able to reconcile all the ins and outs of it. It may be theologically well over our heads, but we are in sympathy with it. We are in agreement with it. We are in agreement with God's will. Now, not everybody is happy about the will of God being done on earth. But happy or glad, the will of God is being done. It's being worked out in this secret sense that we mentioned a few minutes ago. And we're going to have considerable more to say about the will of God being worked out practically, the will of God being worked out as we conform to the Word of God in a few moments. But I want you to get this clearly worked out in your mind this morning, that not everybody is happy about God working his will. Turn back to Psalms. The earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now here it is evident that the heathen rage. They go into a rage and they imagine a vain thing. And that is, as the kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers, they take counsel together. They try to figure out how they can come against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, we're going to break his bands asunder. We're going to cast his cords from us. We're going to get out from under this God that rules in the heavens. We're going to get out from under this God that has a sovereign will. We're going to break the bands, and we're going to get away from this God. We don't like this. We're not in sympathy with. We are not in harmony. It shall never be heard from our lips. The will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're against it. And we'll break out if we can. Now that's rebellion. Now in Psalm 10, in verse 4, it says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The wicked. Notice it. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. He wants nothing to do with God. He's a proud man. He don't need God. He doesn't need God. He won't humble himself before God. He's not interested in God working his will. He'll not seek after God. And God's not in his thoughts. God is excluded from his thoughts. This is the wicked. And he's not happy about God reigning and God being sovereign and God having a will which he is working out in this world. But saints will rejoice that God is on the throne. Psalm 97 and 1 says, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of islands be glad thereof. What do you say? Says the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the islands, the multitude of the islands be glad. The Lord reigneth. God's sovereign, and he's working his will. The will of God is being done on earth. The people of God pray this text. It is the desire of the soul. They say, let it happen. Your will be done. And there's not a one here today genuinely converted, born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who is not in sympathy and agreement with the sovereign will and purpose of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. And if it's contrary to you, then it's because you're yet in a state of rebellion against the God of the Bible. Even though the scripture does say in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I tell you this morning, we don't live long in this world. Having been redeemed by the grace of God and having experienced the touch of God in our own souls and having been brought out of darkness into light, we don't live long trying to do the will of God without us discovering the truth of that verse that we just read to you out of Isaiah chapter 55. We discover it, that our ways are not his ways. And we've been trying to say that this morning already in this text. But now, this prayer, when we pray it, thy will be done on earth, is also an expression of submission to his will, whatever it is. They, the children of God, want that will to be done. We, however difficult we find it, and this morning it might be very difficult for somebody here to find joy in submitting to the will of God. Oftentimes we feel like in our lives, and I've been there, and I think probably some of you have, where our submission in this life is not a joyful thing at all. It's not joyful to be subject to the will of God in this life. We feel somewhat like we might feel if an enemy, a foreign enemy, invaded this country and we were suddenly put under their dominion and their reign and rule. We would feel a great deal of hostility toward them, and we sometimes feel that toward the will of God. Is that right? I mean, sometimes when you get afflicted, sometimes whenever there's sickness or illness comes in your life or in somebody's life that you love, and sometimes whenever there's so many losses, it seems like that's all you have is losses. And sometimes whenever there's such things happens, only God knows that these things are very, very, very disappointing and trying to a soul. And we may feel somewhat that there's no such a thing as a man being able to joyfully submit to the will of God. But my friend, we are to strive to do that. We are to joyfully submit to the will of God. It is a submission of trustful reliance to a Father. You know, we said earlier that our Father is in heaven. And Jesus said, you pray, our Father which art in heaven. It's a Father, you see. There's a Father-Son relationship. God said, you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord the Almighty. And so we're his children. And it is a trustful reliance on a Father. And I think that when we are able to see that this God that is sovereign and that is working his will and purpose in our lives, that he's not a tyrant, and that he's a loving Father, and he gave his very best when he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he does truly, truly love us, and that there is no way that we can ever get out from under the love of our God, that he loves us genuinely, and that he will never, never allow anything to come into our lives that is not eternally the very best for us. And we need to submit ourselves joyfully to the Lord, looking past the things which are seen to the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we're to get our eyes on those things and look past the very things in life that we think that are so difficult this time, making us have hard thoughts toward God and feeling bad about God's will and not wanting to submit ourselves joyfully to that will. Now may the Lord help us with that. Now I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I want to know how to submit myself to the will of God and do the will of God in this life. I want to be able to do that. And I want you to be able to do it. And I want you to look here with me in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And here's what we're to do in order that we might be subject to the revealed will of God in our life. Now listen to it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here it is. And what is the end of us being conformed, not to the world? Now, this is a complaint that I hear often by many in this world today, and that is that there's a great attempt on the part of the world to get us to conform to it, to suck us in, as it were, that we may think like it thinks, that we may talk like it talks, and that our actions and deeds might be conformed to the ways of the people of the world. Now, this is a complaint, I'm telling you, that I hear often from the Lord's people. And there's some of you right here that's made that complaint. And I believe that it's my complaint to you this morning and before God, that we feel somewhat like that there's an effort being made, an overwhelming effort being made, to that we be conformed to the will and to the ways of this world. And I don't want any part of it. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want my mind to be transformed. Now, the way that the mind can be transformed is by adhering to, listening to, hearing the Word of God, hearing the Bible expounded and preached, reading the Scriptures, enlightening oneself, as it were, by taking up the Word of God and studying diligently the mind of God as it's revealed on the pages of Holy Scripture. Study the Word of God. Read the Bible. And then the end in mind is that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God as we live out our life, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Brother, sister, this has to do with a deliberate laying down of our lives, our desires, and our wills, in order that we might do and find that acceptable and perfect will of God, that good will of God. That good will of God is spelled out in the Bible. Now listen to me this morning, and this is the question in this hour. Can we pray this prayer sincerely and live it? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Can we pray that prayer sincerely? Now, beloved, it is a vain and empty thing to pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then go out and live our lives contrary to the revealed will of God in the Bible. Now, it's a vain and empty thing to do that. God will not lead us. He does not lead us to do anything that is contrary to His revealed will in the Word of God. The mind of God is revealed, and we're to find it, and we're to walk in compliance with that will as it is revealed. This is to be our concern, and what a difference it would make if we were totally and absolutely honest. We are, listen to me now, we are to be honest in the seeking of the mind of God. I know there are some areas we may not quite understand. There are some situations we may not know exactly what to do about. But God's will is spelled out in the Word. And we need to seek it and to try to find it with all of our hearts. And I believe that if any man wills to do the will of God, He will know the doctrine. He'll know the teaching, whether it's of God or whether it's of man. Do we honestly and sincerely want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do we want it? Do we want it? Are we honest? Do we want it? Well, I'll tell you, this prayer will get a hold of you. This will get a hold of you. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Can we sincerely have a prayer meeting around this verse? Can we be sincere in our effort to find the will of God? Now, we are to be against what is contrary to God. What is revealed in the Bible as being contrary to God, we are to be against it. Is that all right? Would you be in favor of being against what is contrary to God? Well, we cannot pray, "Thy will be done on earth," unless we are against what God is against. Now look in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. I want to read verse 4 and 5, and I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. Let me begin with verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly," they're not carnal, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought, even to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, I understand, you know, and when I preach these things, and I'm glad it's so, that I cannot preach something like this and feel an indifference to it as I'm preaching it. I'm glad that as I preach something like this, there's a trembling that goes through my soul. Because, beloved, there needs to be a trembling in every child of God as we face the fact that we're in this world and that we're to sincerely to be praying, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then set out to live out that will in our lives, that this prayer would be fulfilled and brought to pass by our own living in this world. Is that all right? That's exactly what makes me tremble. We've got to do this. This is to be our concern. Now, brother, sister, we have a perfect example. And I know that some people may think, well, it's just impossible to ever be that anybody could do the will of God on earth. It's impossible. It can't be done. None of us are able to do it. And I know, as I said earlier, we just do the will of God spasmodically. We do the will of God when we have a good day. We do the will of God if we just feel like it in certain areas. But this is not something we do as we ought to do. But we have a perfect example of one who did the will of God on earth. Bear with me, if you will. I know it's hot. I know these flies are aggravating. But bear with me just a little bit longer, if you will, please. I'm going to talk just a little bit about the perfect example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know that there was somebody who did the will of God on earth. Somebody did it right here on this earth. In Psalm chapter 40, in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." The Lord Jesus said, "I delight to do your will, I delight to do it, yea, your law or your word is within my heart." Now in John 6 and 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I came out of heaven, Jesus said. I came down to the earth not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. John 4 and 34 says, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." In Hebrews 10 and 9 it says, "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And then it says, what this will involves, he says he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Meaning that Jesus came down here to do the will of God, It involved he took away the covenant of works and he established the covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Father, by the which will, it continues to say, we are sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's verse 10 of Hebrews. And so, beloved, we see that Jesus did the will of God on earth. In our message on the subject of nevertheless, we told you that Jesus prayed three times, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus did God's will on earth. I think he did it joyfully because the Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame thereof for the joy that was set before him. I think he did what he did with a secret joy in his heart. And he is our example above all. He is the one we're to reflect upon and think upon and meditate upon and attempt. He is the rule of our life as believers, as Christians in this world, Christ and his example. Now, last of all, this expression, thy will be done on earth, is an expression of faith. It is an expression of faith. Can we believe that it can be so enough to pray for it? Can we believe that? Somebody said, well, preacher, I just cannot think that the will of God could ever be done. I think it's a notion that is entirely impossible, and therefore I can't pray this prayer, thy will be done on earth. I just can't do it. Now, it's an expression of faith. Now, let me say something, that prayer is a meaningful exercise. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke chapter 18. And I want us to look here at this little parable at the beginning of this chapter. I'm telling you that when one comes sincerely and honestly to pray this prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that he is exercising faith in prayer, faith in the God who hears prayer. And here in this chapter, the Lord Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to say it's no use, no need to pray, nothing will happen, this won't happen, the will of God won't be done on earth, and there's no need to pray for it. Well, the Lord told this story about the unjust judge, and the scripture says that he feared not God, neither regarded man. But there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, and she told him that she had an adversary, and she wanted him, this unjust judge, to avenge her of her adversary. And he would not for a while. He just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't get off his seat of do nothing and get up and do something for this woman. He wouldn't do it. But after a while, the scripture said that he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, because she just keeps coming and won't let me off the hook, she'll not give it up. She insists on it coming to pass. She insists on me doing something for her. He said, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by just keeping on coming to me. And the Lord said, I want you to hear what the unjust judge saith. I want you to hear what he says. And shall not God, listen to it now, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find this kind of faith on the earth that makes people just keep coming and coming and coming and knocking and knocking and knocking and calling and calling and calling and begging God that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Will he find anybody that believes that such a thing can ever occur in this world? Will he find anybody with any faith to believe the Word of God and to believe that prayer is a meaningful exercise? Will he find anybody that believes it? Now there are so many things in my life, so many things in your life. There's so many situations that I need to be continually crying to God about. I am crying to God about, and I need that God would avenge me, that God would visit me, that God would answer my prayer, that something would be done on my behalf, that I would be delivered, that God would help me. And I think every one of you feel the same way about it. But faith, you just don't have the faith to believe such a thing could occur, that God can do what you really need to have Him do for you. Well, turn with me hurriedly, and we'll close to the book of James, the book of James chapter 5, and look at verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm sorry, it's not verse 13, it is verse 16. Verse 16. Where he says, the writer James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And then he prayed that it would rain. And when he prayed it wouldn't rain, it didn't rain. And when he prayed it would rain, it did rain. And he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was bothered and disturbed. Various appetites of the flesh as you and I are. Had problems as everybody does in dealing with the old nature, the old corrupt nature, the heart. He had problems with it too. But the scripture says that this man, he prayed and God heard him when he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't rain. Prayed that it would rain and it did. God sent down His blessing upon the land. This hell withheld it and sent it down according to this man's prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My question is, do we really believe that the will of God can be done on earth as it is in heaven? Have we given up hope that anything will ever transpire in this world where the hand of God will come down and where God will really do something in this world, where the Lord will win the day? Oh, for the day when it shall be so, His will done on earth as it is in heaven. It was once before the fall. Remember, back before the fall in the Garden of Eden, the will of God was done on earth. Do you believe that? I believe that. And I believe it can be done again. It will be again. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 13 says, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth the will of God, the good will of God being done on earth. What a day that will be. What a wonderful day that will be. Well, let us have prayer and we'll be dismissed. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that these words this morning that were spoken here in this assembly and before this assembly, that they might be taken to heart. Forgive our sins, our Father, and our weaknesses and our failures. And forgive us, Lord, wherein we've been hypocritical and wherein we prayed one way and lived another. Forgive us, O God, of our weaknesses and our frailties and our sins. And grant the true revival break out in all of our hearts. And all of us be more given up to, dedicated to, given over to the mind of God as it's revealed in Holy Scripture. We pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen.